Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. I always get nervous when I quote that part because I'm always afraid I'm going to say the fruit of the loom. But it's the fruit of the womb is his reward. What about children? What about children? I told you the little caption, the little cartoon that I saw the other night about Adam and Eve and the depiction of them and questioning God in the garden, and they were looking up towards him and saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." We have careers. True story. The wife and I were at a funeral for an old saint of God that had passed, and I was doing services, and the one that was overseeing the arrangements and the circumstances of the funeral, the funeral home director, was a young man that I've known for quite a while and seen him in his youth, and he went into this manner of business, and I've known him for quite a while. He's good to work with and such, but where the burial was so far away from where the actual service was, we stopped and had lunch on the way there because the graveside was going to be later that afternoon. So the wife and I stopped and ate lunch with this young man that was the funeral home director, and as we sat there, and I knew that he had just recently been married. Being the good diplomat that I am, I began to talk to him about his marriage and first one thing and another, and I knew the young lady that he had married. I said, "So I suppose there's children in the offing. It won't be too long before we'll have the pitter-patter of little feet." And without hesitation and without even a seem like a pre-thought, he said, "Absolutely not. No, there'll be no kids in our house." He said, "I got a good job. My wife's got a good job. She enjoys it. We're making money. We're doing well. We don't have time for kids right now. We don't want any." Now, that's kind of foreign to my thinking. Well, I like kids. I really do. Some of the things I said last night at the table in here, and I got wind of some of the rumors that have reputation preceded me at times. He's kind of scary. I don't mean to be. I tried to be with mine because you eventually, my sons are bigger now. And I tried to get my bluff in on them early because I knew this day was going to come. So if they're not scared of me now because of what I used to be, I'm in a heap of trouble, son. So I just try to remind them of who I once was and who I still am. But I'm not really as mean as I look or act. I'm really a big mush, and my wife knows that, but I don't like to admit that, so let's move on. But this idea of not really having children is just foreign to me. And what? And he said, "No, absolutely not. We don't have any kids. We don't want any. And I thought to myself, well, then there's one thing sure and certain about it. You don't need any. Because if you don't want them, you sure don't need them. Let somebody that does want them have them." Wow. Children are viewed so much nowadays as afterthoughts, and no forethought. They're hindrances, they're obstructions, they're just things to tie you down. And I hear people talking about it, and I remember the days that when somebody said something to me last night about it, and I remember that, and a great portion the children had to do with that. I remember the days when I'd come home after work, and I'd throw my hat in the house to see if it stayed or come back out. Because if my cat kept come back out of the house before I went in, it's about to us go back to the truck. This has been a bad day. But if it got to stay, maybe it'll be all right with me, and I could at least slip in the door and sit down, because my wife had been there with those kids all day long. she usually wasn't very hesitant to let me know about it. Your turn. You can tell when that's coming. Ain't it amazing, those little fellows that you love so much and you're a joy to your house and they're the blessing of both of you and the fruit of the womb and both of you's produce and you thank God for them. And then you hear that your son did such and such. Well, let me tell you what your daughter did today. Well, when did she stop being yours? Well, when she stopped acting the way I wanted her to. I don't even want anybody to know she's mine. And you never would admit that, but you thought it. Yeah. But it's a pitiful thing nowadays that when so many people want to deny their children or don't want children or they're a hindrance to them or even get rid of them before they ever get here. And you think God lets that pass? No. Society's views of children as hindrance and burdens and accidents. Let me tell you, a child is not an accident. They were on purpose by somebody. But there are just things to be denied and things to be rejected and things that we'd like to ignore, but sometimes we really like to acknowledge they're ours. Especially when they say something and they make us look good. Now, they can say things sometimes, and this is already getting out of hand. They can say sometimes, and you wish, and you hear and you see that parent recall in horror, and maybe you've done it. I don't know where they heard that. I do. They heard it from you. Because my little ears have big mouths. They repeat things quickly for us. And they come out of us. I got to tell you at least one. Got to tell you at least one. My grandson, Ethan, he's a pistol. He's a mess. And that means he's a son of a gun, so I know who the big bang is. So anyway, I was making up some chocolate milk for him one day. He wanted some, and I wasn't dispersing the chocolate equation with the milk the way that he wanted, so he decided that he needed to instruct me to get the mixture just right. And as I got it all right, and I began to shake it up for him real good, you know, and getting this, and all of a sudden, he's 5 years old. Where does he get this stuff? He's 5 years old, and I'm standing there shaking, and he's looking up at me, and he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Hapo, stop, 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 stop. I thought I was shaking milk out. He said, no, Grandpa, stop, stop. Let me hold your belly while you shake. Boy, I'll slap you in the mouth. Where did you get that? Out of the mouth of the babes. Well, sometimes we'd really not like to admit they're ours, but then other times they say things and we just glow with pride. That's my boy. Or, that's my little girl. And I want y'all to know something. There's a whole lot to the phrases of mama's boy and daddy's girl. And if don't anybody else know that any better, them kids do. They know where their favors are. And they'll play both ends against the middle. They're smart. They're sharp. They do have an effect on us, and we need to acknowledge that. So what are we going to do with them? What about them? The Bible says here that they are an heritage of the Lord. The reward to us in life. So I don't want us to see them as burdens and obstacles. I want us to see them as what the Bible says they are, a reward to us. The home that is blessed with children is blessed indeed. There's hope for future and so much tide in everything about it in our children. And I want you to know that the scriptures, let me read one other. I'm going to read this to you, whether I ever say a whole lot about it or not. I'm going to read it to you at least and say I did. You know, preachers are supposed to do that. In Psalms 144:11, let's look at it from just this view for just a second. Psalms 144, verse 11, rid me, deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Children have an effect. But like Elder Kitchens has said to us before, what's the problem with children? It's not always them. It's what they've picked up and they've learned and they're perpetuating. Rid me from this result. Well, how are you going to do that? Watch. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I tell you what, as I look around here this morning, I see a lot of little plants still in need of nourishing. I can look around and I see some young ladies and I see evidence of polishing. Not just on their part, but on the parts of their parents. And to that I say, well done, and keep up the good work, and keep striving. But we need to learn that they do have an effect. Our hopes for the futures and our regrets and a lot of the things that we talked about last night and the worries, and that we cannot change the past and we can't alter the future so much, but at least we need to be mindful of the fact that a lot of all of those worries of the past and the things we regret and the things that we're hoping for and nervous about in the future are tied to our children. They're tied to our children. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our street, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking out. Already been talking about it. Have we been losing them? That there be no breaking out, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Do y'all get the point of this? It's tied to our children. Parents, this is not a youth rally. I want the parents. Because if we can get you, we'll get them. Happy is that people. Look at this. Tied to our children, how it affects the people. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Tied to our children, what do they need to know? God. Well now, preacher, don't you know, and you've been told, and we've heard it even out of your mouth, maybe at other places, at other meetings, and that's scary because folks do remember better what I preached over yonder than I do myself. But at the risk of exposing myself and repeating myself, but don't you know that our job is not to make children of God? I know that. And we can't teach our children to know the Lord. I know that. I'm not trying to tell you something that you can't do. I'm trying to encourage you to something that you can do. No, you don't make children of God, but they're your children, and you ought to teach them about God. So when God clicks the light on, there's a lot of material for them to work with. Amen. And a lot of the problems that was already in there in the dark that you already knew before they ever got there, they'll see it plainly now. And you've got them prepared for the road ahead because you've been cultivating and plowing and fertilizing those little plants so that their roots will grow deep so that they'll not be moved and they'll be steadfast. And you've been polishing the rough edges off of them girls and shining them up and not just providing them the latest fashions and all of those things, but you've been tempering their minds and tempering their hearts, and you've been smoothing out the corners so that they'll glisten when the light hits. A palace for the Lord's habitation. A heritage of the Lord. There are things that are so tied to our kids, and I know that kids have such and that kind of effect on them. I want us to remember that and what a difference a child can make. The seed of the woman. Again, we're talking about ideals. So much hope was tied to children. One of the first prophecies that is in the Holy Writ was when the Lord spoke to Eve and said to her about your seed and the seed of the devil that would be, he'd bruise his heel, and you'll bruise his head. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. I want you to know something. Just plant this idea in your mind. That from that point on, it was the forethought in the minds of every mom from that point on. Remember when she bore Cain and she said, I have got a man from the Lord. From that point on, the idea was as they looked at every time they bore a child, they had a child, they got them from the Lord. And they were looking in every time and every hope that every time a child is conceived and brought forth in this life and blesses this world with its presence, that in the hands of a mom and in the presence of the control and the authority of a dad, there's the hope of the manifestation of the seed of God. Do we see in the potential of our children the manifestation of the Messiah? They were looking for him in every one of them. Probably no greater place that could be said than the gospel in a nutshell in Matthew 1:21. For she shall bring forth a son. This is before sonogram. For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. On purpose. For he shall save his people from their sins. There was a purpose in that child. There's others in scriptures that said there was purpose for. The Lord told Jeremiah, I believe it was, he said, before you was ever born, before you ever came forth from the womb, I called thee, I ordained thee, and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. Do we see that God's got a purpose in our kids? I don't want to get into the supposition of some of the misconceptions of purpose and all of that, that God's got a purpose in everything that happens and all this. I'll leave that for Brother Matt and all these other brethren around here to straighten out later on. But I just want to encourage you to think that it is a biblical principle that we should be looking for the Lord in our children. Potential. Such potential. They are your reward. The word reward here in the context means they're your recompense. They're your pay. And with so much in the world today, the bottom line is the big issue. And what's in this for me? Well, let me tell you, in marriage, the ultimate what's in it for you is your children. They're your recompense. They are your reward for the labors of all this. They are your portion from God. They are an allotment to you. God allotted these children to you. This is not talking about so much of loving children, but it's specifically in the context of the psalm. It's for the parent, the mom, and the dad to see this among themselves, the archer with his bow. What you got a bow for if you're not going to have arrows? It's not just to hang on the wall and show everybody you got one. You're anticipating using it. And I don't mean that in any negative kind of connotation, but I'm talking to you about you have the anticipation that there's going to be arrows eventually. So you got the bow and you got yourself and you're prepared yourself, and I'll talk about more of that later, deceiving with arrows. But the arrows are coming. You're ready and you're prepared. This is your recompense for all of your labor, for all of your planning, for all of your learning, for all of your involvement and commitment in all of this is children. God has given them to you. You need to see them as such. They're your reward. The fruit of the womb. I got it right again. The fruit of the womb is your reward. This means specifically your children. Your children. The fruit of the womb. Now I know this isn't talking about the wife. But this should be seen as the man to his wife and the wife to her husband. The result, the fruit, the produce of the womb from the man and his wife and husband and wife. Adam knew Eve and she conceived and bare a son. The fruit of the womb is your reward. God has blessed you in your union, in your coming together. God has sanctioned that. And God has said yes. And God has said good. And he's granted children. The fruit of the womb is your reward. It's from your union. What are you going to do with them? How are you going to raise them? How are you going to train them? You just going to wait till they show up and start trying to figure it out? You need to have a little pre-planning. Need to be a little forethought about what you're going to do with them. Got goals, and we need to learn how to pass those on to us. Sometimes they try us and such, and I'll tell you another little story. It's interesting, and I know how powerful these little fellers can be because I've watched the effects and the changes in my children's life when they start having children. And sons of mine that were still as hard-headed as bricks, and I know where they got that, so don't nobody snicker and tell me that you don't because I knew where they got that from. They got double doses of it, but I've watched my sons that were so rebellious and so hard-headed and figured that they had everything, and I don't know nobody else had ever been this way, but they knew everything. They knew all the answers, and I said I wished I'd have wrote down all the answers back when I was their age. When I had them, I can't even remember the questions now, much less all the answers. But I knew them back then, and if you didn't believe it, all you had to do was ask me, and sometimes I was so confident in myself, you didn't have to ask, I'd just tell you anyway. Now, if I was doing this, this is the way it's done. So I've watched my children that have done the very same thing. When children, their children begin to come along, watch them change and happen. One of the very first times I ever saw this, and you wonder what you're going to do with them, was the night my first granddaughter was born. My daughter-in-law had got into this toxic situation. Her system was working against herself, and she literally swelled up. She looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and that's not trying to be funny. It was bad. She swelled up to where she couldn't even bend her legs. She couldn't bend her arms. It was serious. The poison from her own system was going all the way through her, and it was beginning to affect the child. And they had to do a C-section. And when the child got there, the baby got there, and our first little granddaughter was being affected by this, the doctor said, this child needs to go to Little Rock, to Children's Hospital. They were in Russellville, and that's an hour away. Well, no, she can't go by ambulance. We're going to have to med-flight her there. She's got to go, and she's got to go now. Well, Mom can't go. They're still stitching her up from the C-section, and she's still so toxic they don't want her to move. She's got to be on antibiotics for several days. So Mom cannot go, but the baby's got to go. And I saw my grown son wilt in the floor in the hall of the hospital and begin to weep and look up at me and say, Daddy, what do I do? That's my baby on the helicopter. That's my wife in the room. Where do I go? I looked at my bow. And I said, you go with the child. I'll stay with them. And Grandma got in the car and kept pretty close view with the helicopter on the way. All the way to Little Rock. And Nana stayed with the baby for 3 days while I sat in the room with my son and my daughter-in-law. and them wanting to be in Little Rock. And then we all went. And I watched the stress and the pressure and the pain and the anguish and the confusion and all of this. And I'm wondering, and none of y'all, it's vanity. None of you ever wonder why, do you? And this is your reward? This is what you get out of this? This is what you've been hoping for all this time? I don't mean this be easy with me, be charitable. But it'd be real easy to think that just seems to be a whole lot of trouble for us to be going through. Till the first time Grandpa walked up to the incubator and put his hand in through the little thing to the side. And a little bitty hand done that. The bills were astronomical. They're still paying. She's 7 years old. Ain't it crazy what our insurance stuff's doing to us and all this? That's another subject. Finance. You don't think that puts a big pressure on a couple?
Yeah. Amen.
Finance. The things you don't control that, boom, hit you. And you're in way over your head and you never asked for this. And you're still wondering and watching the pressure of them struggling and doing all of this, and you're still wondering sometimes, and the thought creeps in every once in a while, I wonder if all of this is worth it. Till the first time those great big old eyes look up at you and the arms go up and debt's paid.
Amen. Amen.
Debt's paid. Are they worth it?
Amen.
You bet.
Amen.
I know why grandchildren are grand. Because I see what they do to mine. They have a way of bringing out of my children all of those things that I hammered and said and done, and they were, you don't know what you're talking about, Dad. You don't know what you're doing. You never done that to us. Well, yes, I did. You forgot. I haven't. And now they've got them. And it's amazing what they say. And that sounds awful familiar. Seemed like, I wished I'd have said that. Seemed like everybody else is smarter than you. But they are your reward. They're what you leave behind when you leave. They're the heritage. They're your namesake. When you're gone and nobody remembers you, it's your children that teach your legacy. Maybe your grandkids will remember Grandpa and Grandma, Papa and Nana. Because what the first one calls you, that's what you get stuck with. I wanted to be called Grandfather. Didn't work. First one couldn't get the G right, so they said Papa. It stuck. And I kind of like it. Works for me. So they're what you leave behind. Your children know you. They teach your legacy. Your grandchildren may. Your great-grandchildren may know nothing but your name. And the only way they'll know that is because the ones before them told them. They're your heritage. And that's God's plan for you. God's plan is the one's work. It's what we've been trying to get out in front of you all of this time, except the Lord build the house. So our understanding of children should be, and we should be looking for them, anticipating them, longing for them. And everybody likes the babies. Don't they? Don't they? I tell you what, it's something about, for a grandpa and a dad. I remember when a dad... One of the greatest portions of the day to me as a dad, just to tell you how intimidating I am, really. I don't really expose myself here. The grandest part of the day when our children were little bitty was to get to come home in the evening and actually get in and get the grease and the dirt actually wiped and washed off of me so that I was now sanctified enough to touch one of them. And to get in there and to get in my chair, and my job was to rock them the rest of the day. Mom's had them all day long now. Now they're mine. And the job at night was Dad rocks them to sleep. And it works really, really good. And you wake up and look there and they're looking at you. Sometimes that's a job. I remember my daughter, the sons were more complacent than she. In lots of ways, I'll touch some of this later on. But she was one of them, when you went to put her to sleep at night, if she could wiggle a finger, she would fight. She fought going to sleep, tooth and toenail, literally from one end to the other. And for something that didn't weigh over 10 pounds, she was stout as a bull moose. I literally had to get her up like this, and this arm up over, and both arms under me, and both legs down under this one, and just like this, and hold her to where she could not move, because if she could wiggle, she would not go to sleep. I've tried for 20-something years to teach my daughter submission, and she's fought me the whole way. But eventually, she'd go to sleep. And that was the joy of my days. There's something common to an old man holding a child. There's something right about the world when you hold a baby in your arms, isn't it? And you look in their face and you wonder how it looks from their eyes. And the world's a new world every day, and they see and stuff that you forgot about and you couldn't even imagine. They see universes. They see fascinations in the dirt and every bug and everything that it was. And when our boys used to come in, and we never did practice with them at the table trying to teach them God is great. God, and if you do this, don't be insulted, but we never would do the little routines of God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen, all that, that's good, that's good. And we never did do that. I've been an outcast all along. Now I got one of my little grandsons, he says, he got this hand clapping thing. Open, shut him, give a little clap. And then he does this, he got to do this. But they sit around now, and my two grandsons want to argue over who's going to get to say the amen at the table. But when our boys used to come in, we never had them go through all this ritual, and some of the grandest things that I used to hear from them, one of them in particular, because when you'd say, son, I want you to say the amen, and yes, daddy, and he'd say, Lord, thank you for the day, it's been a pretty day, thank you for the mud hole that I found outside, and the frog that I've got in there, check his pockets when this is over. And we thank you for all of this and all that, and that's okay, well and good, and you think, well, that's silly. No, it's not, because somewhere about 10 or 11 years old, I heard one of them, after all the ritual about the mud hole and the frogs, and Lord, Daddy's going on a preaching trip this weekend. Bless him to preach. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to know that your children are praying for you. But you had to teach them that you're praying for them. Amen. And by the way, you don't do that just by word. And you do it more by example. Let them hear you do it. I love this out of my son-in-law. He's so much better at it than me. Somebody asked me, once you saw this and knew that all the mistakes made, what did you do to change it? I'm still working on it. Well, my son-in-law goes in with my little grandson every night when he puts him to bed, and he reads him a verse of scripture, and they talk about it a little bit. And he said, boy, Dad, five-year-olds are hard to talk to about God. Yeah, they asked hard questions. But if you can figure out how to tell them, the rest of us will get it. And then he gets on his knees by the bed, and he prays with my grandson every night. That melts my heart. That's a heritage. That's a great reward. Because I'm seeing the pay of years of investment. Y'all getting this? Mm-hmm. Ch- Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. It's God's way. It's God's plan. It's God's way of manifesting Himself and perpetuating this. And if that's not good enough, okay. Ain't never going to get no said. And y'all are crying. I knew I was in trouble when I got up here and the mic's already asleep on me. I don't want to leave you weepy. I want to leave you happy. But some of the grandest rewards and recompenses you'll get out of your children is we love the little babies. Have you ever seen my wife said, don't do that. I'm going to do it anyway. It's a mystery to me when a child is born and they say, don't they look just like their daddy? And I look at them and in the mirror. We're starting to now. No hair, wrinkles, no teeth. Yeah. But the first time I was told that, you got to be kidding me. I don't look like that. He'll grow out of it, I hope. You ever seen an ugly baby? Enough said. Ain't it amazing? Y'all are starting to think like me. That's scary. Been together too long, brother. All right. We love the little babies. We like to see them wrapped in the blue and the pink and put the little bows and stuff on them. And I'm in here, and I'm going to make a point by this, and then I'm going to close out with another thought. Big mistake. Children are little performers by nature. Don't let them get to thinking that they're the center of the house. Amen. One of the problems with our family society and thinking nowadays is that the family revolves around the children. And they are the bosses of the house. And you hear it out of parents when all of this happens, and it comes in the excuses for church. It comes in the excuses of everything. Well, we can't do this because the kids is doing this, and we can't do this because the kids is involved in this, and we can't do this because... I want to know who runs the house.
Amen.
When did you learn to not tell your children no? My dad used to have a phrase that he evidently thought worked real good, whether I agreed with it or not. He used it quite frequently. You're getting old enough that your wants don't hurt you. You need to know the difference between what you need and what you want. And until you do, I'll handle that. And his first response to everything was, no. You didn't even get the question out. No. Can I have? No. Could I borrow? No. I don't do that, Dad. At least think about it. No. So he already had to fit. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. But that encouraged me to try harder. But it's not just the rewards that you get from the little ones when they're all nice and soft and compliant and they do what you say and they'll perform for you and they'll show out for you and they'll do all of that. And honey, come in here and sing the little song for all the company. Son, go get your new toy and show everybody what you got. Y'all don't like this, I can tell them. Well, who told him we've been doing that? I know you're doing it because we done it. And you build it up in their mind and their ideas about everything in life focuses around them and they're the center of the universe and they already think that anyway and you're proving it to them. So they don't understand what it's like when they get out into the real world and everybody else out there don't think that because they're raised to think that and you get 5,200 centers all in the same place. And the world stops moving. Wow. So they're not center in the universe. They're not center of the home. Because if they are, when they leave, well, you got left. A big hole? Wow. But it's not just with the little babies. Everybody likes the babies. Everybody loves the little ones. I do too. They're a wonder, and I like to talk to little ones. Sometimes when I think that I don't know whether I'm getting it across to anybody or anybody's understanding, you might see me disappear for just a little bit, and I tell you where you'll find me at home. You'll find me over at that little bitty table just about this high over in the corner, where all the little ones are sitting at. And you got this big old intimidating ugly old man sitting right over in the middle of about a bunch of 4 and 5 and 6 year olds, and I want them to tell me what they learned today. And when they start telling me what they've learned, I learn how to adjust so that I get the points across better. Because I want to get them, and I want to get their parents. And the reward comes back not just from them, but here I'll leave you with this, and then this afternoon, hopefully, y'all keep praying. Are y'all tired of hearing yet? We'll talk about some arrows. But there's potential. There's hope. There's recompense. There's the heritage. It's wrapped up in our kids. And it's easy to work with the little ones. And we love it when our 30-year-old son calls and says, "Dad, I now see what you was talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for not giving up on me. For just keeping on, because I was hard." My son got up one time when he was about 18. I'd left the room. He'd said something to me. I'll tell you about that outside if you want me to. I got up and walked out of the room. Somebody needs to know when to leave. He looked at his mom when I left the room, and he said, "I think I messed up." Yes, he did. I come back in the room. I said, "Son, that won't ever happen again." His immediate response was, "Dad, I'm sorry. I should not have said that." It's good when your older ones say this. We love the kids. And here it is. But what about them teenagers? What do you do about them awkward teenagers that you know still don't know, but they think they do? And they look way too grown already. And it scares the liver out of a dad. And makes mamas nervous. That's why she's seeing the doctor so often. Somebody ain't relieving the stress. Because the kids are at that stage, and we love the little ones, and we're listening to the older ones. And well, what do you do about them teenagers? What do you do with them in the in-between? Quote Bill Cosby on this. I remember him talking with his son, Theo. And he's having a little problem with him. Y'all ready? I'm done. It's 12 o'clock. Amen. And all God's people said, lunch. Both children are heritage. Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. He looked at Theo squarely in the eye and said, "Son, just remember this. I brought you in the world. I can take you out.